With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is a good football team. We are obviously not going to do all the same things that we did against the Giants. We're going to change it up. And by changing up, what I mean by that is we're still going to do stuff that we did in the spring and that we did in training camp, stuff that we know.
Ah, the smooth sounds of one defensive coordinator, Keith Butler, to get you started here on the early morning show. And a happy Friday morning to you. My name is Matt Cole. I'll be with you to about 5:40 before the Fan Morning Show pre-show. We're another day closer to Steelers-Broncos, 1 o'clock on CBS on Sunday. Keith Butler talking about what the plan will be for the Steelers defensively as they head into this one. And the excitement, of course, building up as the weekend is just about here. And appreciate you starting your Friday morning right here. And we're going to get into Steelers-Broncos right away. So here is the deal with Denver. And I was looking over some things throughout the week and seeing what this team is really about as we get closer to this. And what I keep coming back to is that the Broncos are just the Giants 2.0 with some slight differences. Of course, no team is exactly the same, but there are a ton of similarities. And they're actually a slightly better version, honestly, than the Giants. And New York isn't awful. I think they win at least 6 games this year. You know, that's not first overall pick worthy, but it's certainly no playoff team. And I think Denver kind of fits into that mix, although a little bit better than that. Not by much, but a little bit better. I think the slight difference here is that there's a better pass rush, even without Von Miller. Of course, that's the big name that is going to be missing on Sunday. You won't see him being out there flying around, and thank goodness for that, because I'll get to it a little bit later, but there is still some concerns with the Steelers' offensive line heading into this game. But Bradley Chubb, I mentioned him yesterday. He had 12 sacks as a rookie a couple years ago and before going down last year, so he is still an issue, still can be a problem. And that would have been a deadly 1-2 punch if Miller and Chubb would have been around all year. That's now 2 straight years they won't have that. Jarrell Casey came over from Tennessee, mentioned him yesterday as well. He could be an issue. And a little nugget, they signed Anthony Ciccolo as a spy yesterday, by the way. I saw that. Interesting little move. But I think their secondary got worse. There's no Bradley Roby. There's no Chris Harris anymore. Those two guys were a staple of what was a very solid secondary for years in Denver. Roby's in Houston now. Harris is out in L.A. with the Chargers, so I think that's huge. There will be even more separation available to the Steelers' wide receivers than there was last week with the Giants, because they had a couple of solid corners, at least. Other than that, though, there is a lot of similarities, and I'll run through them. The Giants and the Broncos, we're going to see another version of a young, sneaky athletic quarterback that has promise, but that hasn't won any big games yet. That was the case with Daniel Jones, and I think that's the case again with Drew Lock coming in for the Broncos. Second round pick out of Missouri, actually went 4-1 as a starter last year as a rookie. And he's got a lot of Daniel Jones in him, I think, where he can move around in the pocket. He can sling the ball down the field. He might be able to fit the ball into some tight windows if you give him enough space and enough time. But of course, being a young quarterback in the league, if you get after him enough, you can force him into mistakes. And we saw that with Daniel Jones last week, in the couple interceptions, and especially that killer after the 19-play drive that ended up in the hands of Cam Hayward. Those are the kinds of things I think can happen again with Drew Lock this week. They both, the Giants and the Broncos, have a running back that can hurt you. Last week, it was Saquon Barkley, who is arguably the best running back in the league, and the Steelers held them to him to 6 yards on 15 carries, incredibly. And Melvin Gordon comes over from the LA Chargers to the Denver Broncos, had 78 yards and a touchdown last week against Tennessee, also fumbled the ball, though. But he's a guy, if you don't key up on him, can't hurt you. Both teams have younger receivers. Though Cortland Sutton is the best receiver they will have faced, he's better than anybody they faced last week, and is clearly the Broncos' number one guy. He practiced for the second straight day yesterday. He was held out last week, so he's questionable for Sunday. But if he's in there, he could be a potential issue. Both teams have a tight end that can hurt you. Last week, it was Evan Engram for the Giants, although he dropped a couple balls. And now it's Noah Fant. He was their leading receiver last week for the Broncos. 5 catches, 81 yards, and a touchdown. And both teams have an offensive line that can be had. And maybe Denver's is a little bit stronger than the Giants last week. They both kind of came in ranked middle of the pack in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. And I always go based off of their rankings and their projections because they're really the only site that puts numbers and qualifications to something like an offensive line. Last week, it was a coach making his debut in Joe Judge. Now it's Vic Fangio, who certainly isn't perfect, and he screwed up big last week. He admitted on Monday, right after the game, post-game, that he should have called a timeout with 1:28 remaining. Right from his mouth, he said, quote, "I did miss calling a timeout after the second down play from the 29-yard line when Henry got 13 yards to our 16. I should have called timeout there. That one I missed." And instead, the Titans didn't snap it again until 49 seconds remaining, and then Steven Goskowski made his lone kick of the night after missing 4 other ones. It was a 25-yarder to win the game with 17 seconds left, and the Broncos were left with virtually no time left to come back and win. And he said, "That was totally my fault there. I had too much thinking about what was going to be the next call on defense, and I completely missed it." So it's not like we're facing Bill Belichick here this week with Vic Fangio. This was a trendy team and a trendy pick for the playoffs, Denver. And maybe if Miller was there, and maybe as this offense develops a little bit, they might insert themselves into the mix. But I think it's the same thing as last week here, where if the Steelers want to catch Baltimore and catch Kansas City, which is already the thought after 1 week of how far away are the Steelers from those top two teams in the AFC, well, if they want to be in that pack, this is a game they just don't lose. And it's a giant disappointment if they do, just like last week would have been. And that's kind of how I'm viewing things coming into this. Peter King called it a must-win last night for the Cleveland Browns for Baker Mayfield. So did he keep his job? Plus, one man practiced fully for the Steelers yesterday, which means we have a full-on situation on our hands. And, of course, a final score prediction for Sunday as well. It's all still to come. It's the Early Morning Show right here on 93.7 The Fan. Lots of sports action last night that you may not have caught all of, especially if you're up this early. We always do this in the middle segment. Let's do it.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
All right, sometimes when you're fighting off a huge losing streak, you just need things to get a little weird. And that's exactly what happened last night for the Pittsburgh Pirates. If 2020 has been good at one thing, it's been being weird. Dakota Hudson, the starter for the St. Louis Cardinals, got hurt after just 2 innings, right elbow tightness, done for the game. Here comes this dude named Gomber out of the bullpen for the Cardinals. Austin Gomber, 26 years old, guy who's just trying to get his career started, and comes in for an inning and 2/3, and gives up 4 earned runs. 2 walks, 2 strikeouts, including a 3-run homer to Gregory Polanco, Polanco's 6th home run of the season. And on the other side, Stephen Brault went complete game. 9 innings, 1 run on just 2 hits, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, by far his best performance of his career and the best performance that any Pirates pitcher has put forth. Maybe in the last 2 years, honestly. Not just this season. And Stephen Brault said after the game, he did it for the gram. As in, his grandma, for her birthday.
I mean, it's pretty cool. I know she's happy. She said she was in tears, because she's a grandma, so of course she is. No, it's really cool. I already talked to her a little bit, and I know my family's super happy, and I have already, you know, a bunch of messages and videos from my nieces and nephews being all cute, but they can't really talk very well, so, like, who cares? You know, they're not even humans yet.
Not even humans yet. But okay, the Pirates win 5-1 over the Cardinals. And again, just coming out of nowhere, Stephen Brault with a complete game and then a 3-run homer for Gregory Polanco. Thursday night football last night, it was a huge game for the Cleveland Browns. This was, okay, how bad do we actually stink? Because we're going against the Cincinnati Bengals at home. If we lose this game, then we're in some big, big trouble. Baker Mayfield potentially having his job on the line, or at least his confidence on the line if he loses this game. Well, the Cleveland Browns, I guess they took care of business enough. A 35-30 win over Cincinnati. Baker Mayfield, 16 of 23, 219 yards, 2 touchdowns, also threw a pick, but he certainly was not the story of the game, as Cleveland was buoyed by a very dominant run game. Sounded a little bit like this.
Second and goal. Here's Chubb. And he's finally in for the touchdown. Put the ball just inside the 1.
Well, 230 pounds. He's a hard guy to hold out of the end zone down there. They were able to do it there on the prior possession. And this time it's just too much.
Yeah, that was to make it 28-13. Nick Chubb, 22 carries, 124 yards, 2 touchdowns. Kareem Hunt, though, also had 10 carries himself for 86 yards and a touchdown. They combined for 210 yards, and it was a dominant rushing performance by them. And this is the height of what the Browns offense can be. And when they're at their best, it's those two guys going at it and really carrying them to victory. Now, I don't know how good Cincinnati's run defense is and how much that can be applied to other teams, but they certainly looked good last night. And on the other side for Cincinnati, somehow Joe Burrow, in just his second game as an NFL quarterback, threw the ball 61 times. He was 37 of 61. For 316 yards. Did throw 3 touchdowns, though, and didn't throw an interception, and Baker Mayfield was impressed.
You know, I didn't get a chance to watch him last week, but I heard the rave reviews and could tell it's true. The hype is real with Joe. I thought he played extremely well. Just being decisive, keeping plays extended, taking care of the ball. I thought, you know, he did a great job.
So there you go, some praise for Joe Burrow from Baker Mayfield. And I come away from this game just thinking, I still don't know if the Browns are any good, because I don't think the Bengals are any good, although I do think they will improve throughout the year. They're already showing that they can at least score and keep up through the first 2 weeks of the season. I do think they win 6 games this year and might even be a Tomlin special later on in the season, come week 15 when the Steelers have to go to Cincinnati. But again, on the Cleveland side, I mean, are they good or not? I have no idea. I don't know what a 35-30 win over Cincinnati really tells us about them against that defense. And then finally from yesterday, I got to go over this as well. We had an instance of a Major League Baseball player just acting like a 12-year-old as Josh Donaldson hit a home run, top of the 6th inning. The score was tied up at 2, and he checked his swing on a 2-0 pitch before the homer. That seemed to be outside the strike zone, but was called a strike. He wasn't happy about it. Words were exchanged. Next pitch, he swings and launches a game, a tie-breaking, at least, home run to left field. He comes around, hits home plate, and then comes back to home plate and wipes dirt all over it. Kicks dirt all over it. and immediately gets ejected from the game right then and there, and then comes back and kicks more dirt on home field, on home plate. Come on, man. Really? It was a tight game as well. Only a one-run game. And he's going to take himself out of the game because he wasn't happy about a 2-0 strike call before he hits a home run and was ejected. Jeez. Some people just don't think. All right, coming up next, one-man practice yesterday. And, of course, this is going to be the talk leading up to the game and one thing that we're going to look toward the most, the running backs. And also, two other guys did not practice yesterday for the Steelers. That also poses a huge issue. More Steelers-Broncos preview coming up next, plus a final score prediction. That's all on the way. It's the early morning show right here on The Fan. Jam-packed Football Friday, as always, coming your way on The Fan Morning Show today. 7:30, Pat Bostic, Pitt color analyst, joins the show as Pitt takes on Syracuse at noon from Heinz Field tomorrow. So that's 7:30. 8 o'clock, Lee Sterling, our guy, Paramount Sports handicapper, goes over all the numbers, all the lines. 8:30, James Merrillat from 104.3 The Fan in Denver joins for a breakdown of the Broncos. Jay Feely, who's on the call for NFL on CBS, part of that broadcast crew, he joins the show at 9 o'clock today. We got our picks as well. Tons and tons of football stuff to look forward to this morning. And that's, of course, after this show and starting with the pre-show at 5:40. So you look at the injury report yesterday from the Steelers. From the South side, we've got Ben Roethlisberger went full. Deontay Johnson went full. Juju Smith-Schuster went full. Marquise Pouncey went full. Alejandro Villanueva full. Stephon Tuitt full. All of these guys did not practice the day before, but returned to practice. And then also going full yesterday, running back James Conner. And so now we have maybe a little bit more clarity as to whether or not he is going to play on Sunday and how serious this injury is. And there's at least that possibility of him being out there. Randy Feitner about his running backs.
We got to start a little faster. I got to be a little better on the early third downs. I got to be better on, just converting first downs, quicker, because then you get more plays.
Okay, thanks, Randy. How about Ben?
Confident in whoever it may be. Really proud of the way Benny stepped up and filled in for James in that game, ran the ball hard.
All right, so here's how I'm looking at this. With James Conner, you can look at his 2018 season when he filled in for Le'Veon Bell, right, where he gets 215 carries, 973 yards, 12 touchdowns, was a Pro Bowler, was great. And then you look at his injury-riddled 2019, and you see that James Conner only had two games out of the seven in which he had double-digit carries. So only had seven games in which he got 10 or more carries. Only two of those did he go over 50 yards rushing. And you can say that the rushing game and the running game had no passing game to alleviate it. But to me, 2019 is already more like this season. For James Conner in particular. Why? Because outside of the normal bumps and bruises, Conner was completely healthy in 2018. I mean, again, I don't know if any guy is completely healthy, but he didn't show up on the injury report with a lot of things throughout that season. And he's already not as healthy this year and battling this ankle injury. And he fought through a myriad of things last year and put up those numbers that I just went over. So to me, it's kind of twofold here. It's, of course, what have you done for me lately? And that's what we should always go off of. We should never, I don't think, go off of, hey, this guy did this 4 years ago, or in this case, 2 years ago with James Conner, so he's automatically that guy. We can expect that kind of performance from him. And that his most recent performance and what he did in 2019 is not so much a Pro Bowl running back and not so much a durable running back in the NFL, period. So there's that. And it also is, what does this situation look more like right now? And it looks like, to me, more 2019 for James Conner, where he's fighting through just to get on the field. He's battling a couple of things. He's being taken out mid-game for things. He's not practicing throughout the week. You have to monitor this injury report day after day. He's questionable. Who knows what version of Conner will even be out there, even if he does suit up and play. That's a lot of what we heard and saw in 2019, and we're already seeing it this year. That being said, I think Benny Snell should get the bulk of the carries. And that's not some hot take. I mean, everybody kind of thinks that at this point. And I don't think it's ever a good idea, just to break it down simply, I don't think it's ever a good idea to take carries away from a guy who ran for 113 yards the week before. That just doesn't make any sense to me. And it's not like he just broke off a big home run ball that he went, you know, 86 yards down the field on one carry and got the bulk of his yards that way, and the rest of his carries got, like, you know, 2 yards per carry. That's not what happened. It was consistently getting yards every time he touched the ball. And you're going to take carries away from him? I don't think that's very smart, James Conner being healthy or not. Now, that being said, I would not be surprised if James Conner started this game on Sunday. He made his way back, and the first time Ben Roethlisberger turns around to hand the ball off to somebody, it's the number 30 and not the number 24. Now, I do hope that James Conner is able to play this game. I do. Because I think his best role anyway, and probably how it should have been to begin this season, is as mostly a pass-catching back now. He should be the Kareem Hunt to the Benny Snell to the Nick Chubb, like we see in Cleveland, where Benny Snell takes the bulk of the carries, gets 15 to 20 carries a game, if not more than that. And there's James Conner with, I don't know how many carries he would need to get. I don't know if he'd put a number on it, but five or fewer. But also catches three or four passes out of the backfield and shows off in the open field. I think he's still valuable as that kind of running back. And that kind of back is prevalent in today's NFL. That's not some specialized role that you'd have to make up for him that we don't see around the league. We see it on plenty of teams. Put him in passing situations and utilize him that way. What's wrong with that? And it also keeps him from, you know, getting hurt at least more often, or at least lessens the chances of that. So while I think Benny Snell should get the bulk of the carries, while I think it makes all the sense in the world for that to happen, I also would not be surprised if James Conner starts this game, because I think Mike Tomlin still thinks very highly of him. I think if he had his choice, that James Conner would still be his bell cow running back. And we may just see that, at least to begin the game, on Sunday. Also, going back to that injury report, very interesting that both Stefan Wisniewski and David DeCastro were held out of practice. They were the only ones that didn't practice fully yesterday. And may I remind you what Mike Tomlin said on Tuesday if Kevin Dotson had to play?
It's going to take a tremendous effort by him and by us. And by us, I mean us putting him in the very best position to perform. And so there's some dual responsibility there.
They like the guy. I think he played pretty well in his limited time coming into the game last week. Fourth round pick, though, as a rookie, I don't think it's very ideal to have him in there at the guard position. That's the obvious thing. And I think that the Broncos' pass rush is better than the Giants. I mentioned that to begin the show today. And it could be an issue as this game goes on. And that, you know, now more so than anything, I think, is that the offensive line cannot afford to sustain any more injuries from here, because now you're getting into the J.C. Hassan hours of the world. So that they are already skating on some very, very thin ice up front. And I'm not sure how Kevin Dotson is going to hold up, how Chukwuma Okorafor is going to hold up on the right side at right tackle for now that Zach Banner is out. And that's certainly something to watch for this game. And also something else I'm going to watch as I'm wrapping up here about to give a score prediction is what's the next step for the rookies, for Chase Claypool? I mean, he had a couple of really nice plays, one to end the game and end around where he showed off some ridiculous speed. Also, the push-off catch on the sideline. I think he showed enough already, and that's crazy to think, but I think he showed enough already in just week one that Ben can start to go back to him a little bit more. And maybe he gets a couple of red zone looks this week. So I'm really interested to see what Claypool comes back to do in week two. And does Anthony McFarland get any action? Mike Tomlin admitted to, you know, messing up the inactives and thought that he didn't have another roster spot that he could have had for McFarland, so he could have dressed in that game. What kind of things did they do for him in that offense? Who knows? But I'll wrap up the show today with this.
It's time for Gone in 40 Seconds. One last 40-second take to send you into the rest of the morning on the Early Morning Show. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
All right, so here's how I see things going. I think the Steelers are going to be much sharper from the jump. They're not going to be as rusty, and in particular, number 7 won't be as rusty. I do think it will be about an even split between Connor and Snell to at least start the game if Connor is healthy and does suit up. Again, I hope it's more of a pass-catching role for him. I do think the first half is close, and eventually the Steelers force Drew Lock into some mistakes and pull away. I don't see a blowout. I think the Broncos will play it tight enough to keep it within 10 points. I'll say a very similar score as last week, 27-17 Steelers. Eric Ebron gets on the board with his first touchdown in black and gold. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. The sun is shining on budget-friendly deals with 32 new and used vehicles under $19,996. Today, mostly sunny, a high of 68, and then tonight, clear and chilly and a low of 41. Enjoy the weekend, the pre-show, it's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.